Hey, good evening, everybody. This is Natalie Griffin coming at you live from the Naughty Shaman HQ. And I'm excited to share a new story with you tonight. And it's inspired because I've been watching, you know, so many people take brave steps in their spiritual journey into what I would call spiritual adulthood. And that journey can be difficult and beautiful and inspiring. And on our way to this wholehearted, wild, rich life that we are all yearning to live, we can come across some uncomfortable emotions. And often people in spiritual paths don't deal with these. They want to repress them, rise above them, do a bunch of mantras to kind of get out of these uncomfortable feelings as quickly as possible. And I really wanted to talk about one of the more difficult emotions that we come across in our journey as we are waking is this emotion of rage. And it's not popular to talk about rage. Rage is scary. And the things that people, all of us, can do when we are in the grips of this really intense emotion can be scary and sometimes dangerous and even violent. If we look out into the world, there are plenty of examples of how rage is misunderstood, misused, overindulged. And yet it is a part of our reality. And so in our spiritual journey, we have to deal with these difficult emotions. And there are a lot of people, when they awaken and they remember who they are and the truth of their soul, can be caught in the grips of rage because maybe for the first time they're taking a look at the cage that they have created for themselves, either consciously or unconsciously, that has left them trapped, unable to express what is in their soul, to come to full intimacy with themselves and all of life. And so I wanted to share with you a little bit about rage and then a story. So rage is an interesting emotion. It's powerful and it can come on us unaware sometimes. And when we feel it, you know, we want to repress it because sometimes we get afraid of what we'll do if we really indulge it. I've talked to many women and men who are so afraid to even take a look at this emotion because I think that there's a sense for most of us that if we indulge, even for a moment, the energy of this emotion called rage, that we will be forever derailed, that we will never come out of it, that we will lay waste to cities and those around us and the ones we love. And when we try to repress it, it's a lot like putting a scalding wildfire in a burlap bag. It doesn't work. It doesn't work to repress rage. And it doesn't work to fully and unconsciously express rage either. So what are we left to do with this really hot and intense emotion? So I wanted to share a story from the book, Women Who Run with the Wolves. It's one of my favorite books. And the story was given to Carissa Pincola Estes by a Japanese warrior. And it's an old folktale that comes from that Japanese tradition. And I wanted to share it with you because I love this story and how this woman, the heroine in the story, goes on this journey to really wrestle with rage. And when I first read this story, I thought of the heroine and I identified with her. And then I also kind of identified the man in the story, her husband in the story, as other people in my life who were experiencing trauma or rage. And now when I read this story, I like to think of it as I am also the heroine, but I'm also this one, there's a part of me that knows this rage. And so as I read this story, I want you to think not only of the people around you who might be experiencing and wrestling with this difficult emotion, but also the parts of ourselves that are wrestling and how we might come into right relationship with these really intense parts of ourselves. So here's the story. The story is called The Crescent Moon Bear. There once was a young woman who lived in a fragrant pine forest. Her husband was far away, fighting in a war for many, many years. And when he finally returned, he was released from his duty. He trudged home in a most foul mood. He refused to enter the home, for he had become used to sleeping on stones outside. He kept to himself, and he stayed in the forest day and night. His young wife was so excited when she learned of her husband's return and that he was coming home at last that she cooked and shopped and shopped and cooked and made all of the dishes, dishes and dishes and bowls of tasty white soybean curd and three kinds of fish and three kinds of seaweed and rice sprinkled with red pepper. And finally, she had these big, juicy prawns, fat and orange. Smiling shyly, she carried the food into the woods and knelt beside her war-weary husband and offered to him the beautiful food that she had prepared. But he sprang to his feet and he kicked the trays of seaweed over, and the bean curd spilled, and the fish jumped into the air, and all the seaweed and rice spilled into the dirt. And finally, the big, fat, juicy prawns rolled down the path. "Leave me alone," he roared, and he turned his back on her. He became so enraged that she was frightened of him. And finally, in her desperation, she found her way to the cave of an old healer who lived outside of the village. "Oh, my husband, you have to help me. My husband has been badly injured in the war," the wife said. "He rages continuously and he eats nothing. He wishes only to stay outside and he will not live with me as he did before. Can you please help me? Give me a potion that will make him loving once again." And the healer assured her, "This I can do for you, but I need a special ingredient. Unfortunately, I'm all out of the hair of the crescent moon bear. So, my daughter, you must climb the mountain, find a black bear, and bring me back a single hair from the crescent moon on his throat. Then I can give you what you need, and your life will be good again." Now, some women would have felt daunted by this task. Some women would have thought the entire effort impossible. But not she, for she was a woman who loved. "Oh, I am so grateful," she said. "It is so good to know that something can be done." And so she readied for her journey, and the next morning she went out to the mountain. And she sang out to the mountain, "Arigato zaisho," which is a way of greeting the mountain and saying, "Thank you for letting me climb upon your body." She climbed into the foothills where there were boulders as big as loaves of bread, and she ascended the plateau covered with forest greens. The trees had long draping boughs and the leaves looked like stars. "Arigato zaisho," she sang out again. This was a way of thanking the trees for lifting their hair so that she could pass by underneath. And so she found her way through the forest and began to climb again. It was harder now, the climb. The mountains had thorny flowers that seized the hem of her kimono, and the rocks scraped her tiny hands. Strange, dark birds flew out and chased her and frightened her. But then she knew that they were just muen buikote, the spirits of the dead who had no relatives. And so she sang to them. She sang prayers to these birds. "I will be your relative, my loves, and I will lay you to rest. Come with me." Still she climbed, for she was a woman who loved, and she climbed until she saw the snow on the mountain peak. Soon her feet were wet and cold from snow, and still she climbed higher, for she was a woman who loved. And a storm began. And the snow blew straight into her eyes and deep into her ears. Blinded, she still climbed higher. And when the snow finally stopped, the woman sang out, "Arigato zaisho," to thank the winds that had ceased to blind her. She took shelter when she got to the top in a shallow cave. It was so small, she could barely pull all of herself into it. Though she had a full pack of food, she did not eat any of it, but covered herself in leaves and slept. In the morning, the air was calm and the little green plants even showed through the snow here and there. Ah, she thought, now to find the crescent moon bear. She searched all day, and near twilight, she found thick cords of scat and needed to look no further, for a gigantic black bear lumbered across the snowfall, leaving behind deep pad and claw marks in the snow. The crescent moon bear roared fiercely and entered its den. She reached into her bundle and placed the food that she had brought in a bowl. She set the bowl outside the den and then ran back to her shelter to hide. The bear smelled the food and came lurching out of its den, roaring so loud it shook loose little stones. The bear circled around the food from a distance, sampled the wind many times, sniffing the air. And then he ate the food in one big gulp, and the bear reared up and then disappeared back into its den. The next evening, the woman did the same, setting the food in a bowl, but this time, instead of returning all the way back to her shelter, she returned only halfway. And the bear smelled the food and he heaved itself out of its den, roared so loudly to shake the stars from the very skies. The bear circled and he tested the air very cautiously. And finally, he gobbled up all the food and crawled back into its den. This continued for many nights until one dark blue night, the woman felt brave enough to wait even closer to the bear's den. She put the food in a bowl outside the den and then stood right by the opening. When the bear smelled the food and lumbered out, it saw not only the unusual food, it saw a pair of small human feet as well. The bear turned its head sideways and roared so loud it made the bones in the woman's body shake and hum. And the woman trembled, but she stood her ground. The bear hauled itself onto its black legs so strong, and he smacked its jaws, and he roared so much that the woman could see right up into the roof of its mouth the red and brown colors deep in its throat. But she did not run away. The bear roared even more and put out its arms above her as though to seize her, 10 claws hanging like 10 long knives right over her scalp. The woman shook like a leaf in high wind, but she stayed. She stayed right where she was. "Oh, please, dear bear," she pleaded. "Please, please, dear bear. I've come all this way because I need a cure for my husband." And the bear brought its front paws gently to the earth with a spray of snow under its weight. And then the bear peered into the woman's frightened face. And for a moment, just a moment right there, the woman felt that she could see entire mountain ranges, valleys, rivers, and villages reflected in the bear's old, old eyes. And a deep peace settled over her, and her trembling ceased. "Please, dear bear, I have been feeding you all of these past nights. Could I please have one of the white hairs from the crescent moon on your throat?" And the bear paused and thought, this woman would be easy food. Yet suddenly he was filled with pity for her. "It is true," said the crescent moon bear, "you have been good to me, and you may have one of my hairs. But take it quickly and then leave here and go back to your home." The bear raised its great snout so that the white crescent on its throat was revealed. And the woman could see the strong pulse of the bear's heart there. And the woman put one hand on the bear's neck, and with the other, she took a hold of a single glossy white hair. And quickly, she plucked it right out of his throat. And the pain annoyed the bear, and he settled into these annoying huffs that were so loud. Oh, thank you, Crescent Moon Bear. Thank you so much. The woman bowed and bowed and bowed. But the bear growled and he lumbered forward in a step, and it roared at the woman in words that she could not quite understand and yet somehow were familiar, like she had known them all of her life. And she turned and fled down the mountain as fast as she could. She ran under the trees with leaves shaped like stars. All the way down, she cried, thank you to the trees for lifting their boughs so that she could pass. And she stumbled over the awkward boulders that looked like big loaves of bread, all the time crying, thank you to the mountain for letting her climb upon its body. And though her clothes were ragged and her hair askew, her face soiled, she ran down the stone stairs that led to the village. She ran down the dirt road and right through town to the other side of the village and into the hovel where the healer sat tending the fire. Look, look, I did it. I found it. I claimed it. I have a hair from the Crescent Moon Bear, cried the young woman. Ah, good, said the healer with a smile. And she peered closely at the woman and took the pure white hair, and she held it out, examining it in the light. She weighed the long white hair in one hand, and she measured it with her finger, and then exclaimed, yes, this is an authentic hair from the Crescent Moon Bear. What wonderful work you have done. And the woman was so proud and so excited. And suddenly the healer turned and threw the hair right into the fire, where it popped and crackled and was consumed in a single orange flame. No, no, cried the woman. What have you done? Be calm, my love. All is good, all is well, said the healer. Do you remember each step you took to climb the mountain? Do you remember each step you took to capture the trust of this Crescent Moon Bear? Do you remember, my child? Remember what you saw, remember what you heard, remember what you felt? Do you remember these things? Yes, yes, I remember it all very well, each step. The old healer smiled and put her hand on the woman's shoulder and said, please now, my daughter, go home. Go home with your new understandings and proceed in the exact same way with your husband. When I first read this story, I was devastated that the hair of the Crescent Moon Bear ended up in the fire. I couldn't believe it. I thought after all of this effort, this poor woman, all of her dreams dashed in a single orange flame. And what I love about this story is that it is a great reminder of the real journey. I know, we all wish there was a Crescent Moon Bear hair that would fix everything. And if we just have one moment of courage, that it will fix everything in our life and that we will no longer have to feel pain or rage or frustration or sadness. And I wish I could sit here and tell you that that was true even after you set on a spiritual path, but it isn't. There is no Crescent Moon Bear hair. There is no magic pill. There is no magic lover. There is no magic workshop that can fix any of this. This is life. Life comes with highs and lows and ups and downs, pleasant experiences and unpleasant ones. The most profound thing about this story for me is that this woman, in all of her love, was a mature lover. She demonstrated patience and compassion for this part of her that was filled with rage, for this part of her life that was filled with rage. And through a steadied practice and a lot of courage, she learned how to make friends with this rage that in the story is embodied by the Crescent Moon Bear. So when we think about these difficult feelings that live inside of us, there's no way that you could put a giant black bear down and repress it and control it. There isn't. It needs a natural expression. A bear needs to roar. So we need to find safe places for our roars. We need to find safe people who can sit beside us. And before we can do that, we have to create safe space inside of ourselves so that we can sit next to our difficult emotions and make friends with them to learn what they've come to teach. Rage can teach us. It is one of the wisest teachers. It's one of the oldest, almost as old as love. And in our rage, we sometimes can see things that we need to see, the cage we have created, the difficult choices that we've made that have brought us here. Our rage can illuminate the places in our lives that have gone dark or withered. And sometimes rage is the exact thing that we need to awaken a passion in our hearts that has long been lost. So we need to create safety inside of ourselves to accept all that we are. Yes, we are love. Yes, we are light. Yes, we are hope. And yes, we are rage. And yes, we are ugly. And it is the spiritually mature person who can love and accept all of these things in themselves and then also sit beside another who is also whole. And it's in this patient climb to the top of our spiritual mountains where we can learn to sit beside all that we are. Because when we repress any part of ourselves, we are in fact repressing life itself. And our rage needs a safe place to be buried. It needs to be sung over. Arigato zaisho. We need to grieve and mourn for the difficult parts of our lives and then put them to rest with honor. Say goodbye and take the lessons that they have taught into our lives. The woman goes on this great heroic spiritual journey up to this mountain where she's patient and courageous and gets the gift of this white hair. But she doesn't stay on the mountain. She doesn't even stay in the healer's hovel near the fire. She goes back home and uses these gifts to make her life more rich, more intimate. And in this way, we must learn to love ourselves, all of the parts of ourselves, even the ones that perhaps we've learned are unlovable. It isn't true. All of the parts of us deserve love. And in this graceful blanket of love, these emotions can find a sweet home to rest. So that's what I wanted to share with you tonight. Don't be afraid of these emotions that are big. They are not bigger than you. Your courage and your love is much bigger. So be brave. Learn from these things. And take the gifts back home into your life where that will make your relationship with yourself, your relationship to others, and your relationship to all of life so much more rich. Because that's what we're doing here. We want to have a whole life, a wholehearted, full, rich life that includes a wide spectrum of experiences, and we cannot reject a single one of them. They're all welcome home, all welcome home in us. So my loves, thank you. Learn to sit beside with courage and patience these difficult emotions, and they will pass. The bear will not rear up forever. It does come down to gently offer its gifts. Have a beautiful night, my loves, and I look forward to chatting with you soon and hearing your stories about ways that rage has taught you, sadness has taught you, worry has taught you, joy has taught you. Every single one of these emotions is a precious, precious gift. So sit beside them, and you will grow your bandwidth. You will grow your capacity to hold all of life. This is a more feminine way of power, is to sit and hold like an open vessel, all that is life. Okay, my loves, have a pleasant evening. This is Natalie Griffin, signing off from Naughty Shaman, where we like to keep the sacred a little bit wild and totally real.